Good morning, everyone. Please sit down. Welcome to St. Mary's on this last Sunday of May. No Mo May. Did you manage to avoid cutting your lawn? I didn't. Had one go at it. My friend did avoid it, and her reward was a hedgehog came to live in it. So there you go. If you want hedgehogs. Well, this is a special day for a different reason. This is Pentecost Sunday. Red shirt. I see one or two flashes of red here.
Oh, it's going to crackle all the way through otherwise.
Thank you. You need a friend. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Haven't got the sort that falls off my ears, you see. I'm trying this one. Anyway, so this special day, and are you expectant of a supernatural move of God in your life this morning? Would you like to have an experience of his presence on this very special day, also called Whit Sunday, the second most important Sunday in the Christian year after Easter? I know I would. So with that hope, shall we just pray? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well then, let us be transported in our imagination to the scene of the first Pentecost in Jerusalem, nearly 2,000 years ago. It was 50 days since Jesus had been crucified. At least 500 witnesses had seen him alive in different locations, and then he had ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives. His disciples had watched him disappear into the clouds, and an angel told them that one day he would return to earth on that same spot. But Jesus had made them a promise. The Holy Spirit was coming, the Spirit of truth, who would be a guide to all truth and would speak of the future, bringing glory to Jesus and the Heavenly Father. He would be the comforter, a counselor, but could not be sent until Jesus had returned to heaven. And so here they were, waiting in Jerusalem for his arrival. Waiting isn't easy, is it? How many of us have waited on Stoke Hill for a number 4 bus into town? At least we have the electronic board to tell us how late it will be. In the past, I've given up and started to walk, which is when the bus always turns up, of course. In these days, we don't expect to wait long for anything, do we? Because we live in an age of instant gratification. Internet phones in our pockets, and modern communications which enable us to travel and make global contacts, living our lives at a fast pace once again, now that COVID restrictions are hopefully behind us. For the disciples, the waiting must have seemed endless. 10 days had passed since Jesus' departure, that day we now celebrate as Ascension Day. And they were now having breakfast together in an upper room, about 120 of them, behind locked doors and getting impatient. The Harvest of Weeks festival was happening outside in Jerusalem. It always took place 50 days after Passover. It was a double celebration, giving thanks to God for the wheat harvest and also for the giving of the Ten Commandments, making it both an agricultural and a religious festival. Jews were drawn to Jerusalem from all over the known world, Europe, Asia, Africa, representatives of all the nations, many different languages. Suddenly, a roaring, violent wind rushed into the room. But it was not a destructive wind. It was not a cyclone, nor a tornado. The Holy Spirit had arrived. Jesus had kept his promise. The disciples knew that something fantastic and amazing was happening. Their fears and uncertainties were being blown away and replaced with peace and joy. 3 years earlier, John the Baptist had predicted, "One mightier than me is coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And now they saw what appeared to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, dancing on their heads, and they began to speak in other languages. Hearing the commotion and noise, a multinational crowd gathered outside, and as the disciples came onto the streets, people were amazed to find that they could understand the praises of God being spoken in their own languages. Acts 2 verse 12 tells us, amazed, perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Are these men drunk?" "No," said Peter, "since it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, we can hardly be drunk." And he explained that what had happened was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which had been predicted by the prophet Joel. By the end of that first day, over 3,000 people had given their lives to follow the Lord. And not just some modern altar call. They all got baptized in water and the Spirit, broke bread with one another, walked in great favor, and would share everything they had. This was the founding of the church. Now all men and women would be able to prophesy and have vision and dreams. A new age had dawned. The Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, with God the Father and Jesus the Son, had arrived. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit seemed to be a rare and special gift, which only a privileged elite would experience, such as Moses, Gideon, Samuel, or Isaiah. He was always there together with Jesus, but it is as if they were blurred into the background with a sharp focus on God the Father. In those days, it was highly unlikely that an ordinary person would be filled by the Holy Spirit. God was still remote, and access to him had to be mediated by a priest in the temple. The words of the prophet Joel, however, suggested that an entirely new relationship with God was going to become possible, and this was the turning point on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit had come in wind and fire, and God could now be experienced as a living reality within each person to empower, guide, teach, and encourage. There is no favoritism with God. The Holy Spirit is available to everyone, and he brings gifts to equip us, such as wisdom, healing, faith, miraculous powers, and he makes us thirsty for the things of God. Peter and the other disciples were transformed from weak to mighty warriors after this experience. So how can we be challenged to live a lifestyle where we are confident and bold to use the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority we are given in the name of Jesus? First of all, we need to be sure that we have committed ourselves to a personal relationship with Jesus. Acts 2, verse 21, the last verse of Joel's prophecy says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone. Jesus died on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven and we can pass from death to life, eternal life. All we have to do is to say sorry, sincerely repent of all our wrongdoings, our sins, and accept the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Then we need to ask the Lord each day for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. So often we are afraid of leaving behind the security of familiar things. God wants us to be carried on the wings of the Spirit. He wants to show us new things, signs and wonders. He wants to restore broken relationships in our lives and heal the wounds of the past. He can also guide our steps very precisely if you will trust him to do this. So what might you be afraid of? Possibly your fear is that you might pray for the Holy Spirit and find that nothing happens. Fear of God failing us means that we ask for less, expect less, and are satisfied with less. We might even convince ourselves that we don't want more, that we have all the God that we need or could want. This must grieve God, who genuinely wants us to have a full relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we have to talk him into. When Jesus was on earth, he said to his disciples in Luke, "If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The promise is clear in Scripture. It is even a command. It says in Ephesians, "Be filled with the Spirit." Every Christian on earth should be and can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, religious faith runs on a flat battery. A week ago, on a Sunday evening, I was taking an evening prayer walk around the North Village campus of Bristol University. As I progressed down the path from Wills Hall and past the tennis courts, I could see several students hunting for something in the long grass. I'd begun to walk by when an inner voice prompted me to stop and call out to them and offer to help them in their search. I remember thinking that this might mean that I would need a divine metal detector. Oh, I hope God was going to be around if I did. But I called out to them, "Have you lost something? Would you like some help in finding it?" And one of them shouted back, "We've lost something, but it's not serious. It's only a ball." I looked down at my feet, and there was the ball. As I threw it over to them, I felt a warming of my heart as the presence of the Holy Spirit reminded me of his extraordinary power that can help us in small things in this life and big things when we are obedient. God is pouring out his Spirit today on all who receive him. It's a free will choice, but essential in a Christian walk of faith. The gift of tongues in prophecy is optional, but not withheld if you desire and seek the gifts. The presence of the Holy Spirit is always found at the table of communion and also in reading and hearing the word of God from the Bible and in prayer. Holy Spirit always comes. I wonder if you heard about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on students as they worshipped in a chapel at Asbury University in Kentucky, USA, back in February, March. News of it traveled through the world as signs of wonders of healing and prophecies, peace and joy were experienced. A young man who'd been there came to tell us about it in Bristol, and we were and are still hopeful that this will be happening in our universities too. A team of us called the Oasis Student Ministry, which includes members of other churches, have been opening the Wills Chapel at the local North Village campus of Bristol Uni here in Stoke Bishop for a few years on Wednesdays and the occasional Sunday services. Through prayer, we've had visions of living water, the Holy Spirit cascading through the campus, able to reach every bedroom and person. And we've seen a number of students significantly affected during these years. And would particularly value your prayers for tonight. We are holding the end of term leaving service for Bristol University in the Wills Chapel for the students at 5 o'clock. And if you'd like to come along and support us, you would be very welcome. We have the details on the flyer in the foyer downstairs. Universities have become renowned as centres of secular humanism. But the Holy Spirit wants to draw to Jesus all those who are seeking truth and the meaning and purpose of life. I recently attended the water baptism by full immersion of 5 of my grandchildren's friends who were at Bath University. What an impact on the world for God's kingdom they are going to have, I thought. What an impact on the world Peter's speech had on that day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, when those 3,000 people were baptized after his speech, which began the early church. So coming into land, as Gemma says, it's the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that joins us to God, so that we can become like spiritual lightning conductors, bringing down the powers of heaven. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." One light shines a long way. The only thing we need to do is shine. The Holy Spirit will guide us and help us to develop our full potential. How far and fast we travel with him is up to us. We've been given free will. But if we give him free access, we can be empowered to do remarkable things, as I can testify in my Christian walk of, shall I tell you, 37 years. Jesus will return soon, I'm sure very soon. His second coming will see the kingdom of heaven finally and fully established. Many of us struggle in our Christian walk, but we can pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit because he's never left the church. He's still here. We will never be alone with him. We will have a guide to help us distinguish truth from fake news. And with deception such as ID coming along, and we should be empowered to walk in God's plans and purposes for our lives. And so this morning, I'd just like to pray that prayer, a little prayer, if you'd like to join me. And afterwards, we'll be praying for you, the prayer ministry team, in front of the chancel, if you'd like to come. And I've brought anointing oil, if you'd like to be anointed, to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. Thank you also that when Jesus ascended to heaven, you did not leave us as orphans, but you sent the Holy Spirit to live in us and equip us, enable and comfort and teach us truth and ability to discern between what is false and fake. We pray that you will fill us today with the Holy Spirit so that we may be empowered to serve you and be confident in our faith to share the good news of Jesus with others. In his name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Angela. I knew you were going to really enjoy preaching on Pentecost Sunday, and I certainly enjoyed listening to what you had to share with us. This is the moment where you need to find your candle.